Got it. There we are.
On the air and in your hair.
Yes, and we're very happy to have it.
Yes, well, some of us have more than others.
Maybe very well.
March 18th,
Yeah,
2024.
today's past Pi Day.
And yesterday, what did you have green beer yesterday, by the way?
No, didn't. I celebrated. I had on a green Ireland t-shirt and it was good.
I have something I can show you that I could have done yesterday on my wall here. Among many weird things, here's a thing I got. See that? This is the Irish Garda's
Oh,
whatever
black. It's
plaque
very nice.
gave me once when I was doing stuff over there. Doesn't come out very well on the
Oh, no, it looked like it was a mirror of some sort.
yes. Ooh. Anyway, I do have a link to the actually a little anecdotal story. I went to Ireland, I guess maybe three times on official business, and I remember one day we were, like my colleague and I, we were there at a seminar or something that the Garda was putting on, and our flight was supposed to leave like at 10 o'clock, and we were still sitting around having coffees and yucking it up at their headquarters, which is quite some way from the airport. And someone said, "Well, what time is your flight leaving?" And I think, for the sake of recounting, I'll say it was around 10 o'clock, and it was like 9. And we're still sitting around having a good time. And they threw us into a police car, and we went screaming through the streets of Dublin at breakneck speeds. And, I thought I was, I said, really, if we missed a plane, it'll be okay. I'll take the next one. And they drove right out to the airfield, right up to the airplane. On we went. What about the other? Don't worry about it. We're done. And that's one of my more vivid recollections of Dublin, because it went by in a blur. Anyhow,
Well, yeah.
that's my St. Patrick's Day sort of recollection here, even though it wasn't on St. Patrick's Day that this happened.
No, but it just reforms or reaffirmed the position that everybody likes to be Irish,
You bet.
particularly St. Patrick's Day.
Actually, I recall very fondly times I spent there, both on business and on, we went there once with Bev on holidays, and it was a great place to
Oh
spend
yeah,
three, 4 days.
we were there for a couple of weeks and just had a wonderful time driving on the other side of the road from North America and learning all the little idiosyncrasies of how you turn corners and which side of the road you're
You
supposed to
mean
remember to
right
be at.
turns versus left turns?
The sitting at the T intersection, scratching your head, going
Yeah, well,
in,
that's
out, back, left, right.
well, yeah, we're showing our age. This is we have roundabouts now, but in those days, I never saw a roundabout. What do you do now? And I remember particularly it's the M25 in the UK. They have these roundabouts that have three, four, or five lanes, and go, wow, now what do I do? I mean, and for someone who's not driven that side of the road, the rules are pretty clear, but they're a little challenging for the first little while to go, I hope nobody hits me or I don't hit somebody else. Of
Very
course, the
rugged.
good point is if you miss the turn, you just keep going.
Just go around again.
That's right.
What we don't want to get to, it was like European vacation and Chevy Chase. There's the Eiffel Tower. There's the Eiffel Tower.
That's right. Hey, kids.
Anyway.
Well, we start off on a light note. So,
Yeah.
what we were going to give this particular episode a name, and you had a great name.
Yes, I was kind of thinking the cohort of thieves.
A cohort of thieves.
Yes. Also known as, brought to you by your local band of politicians.
Yeah, the cohorts of thieves. Well, the cohorts of thieves are doing their utmost to make life challenging for folks.
Well, particularly here in Canada, and I'm sure it's probably not just limited to Canada, although I was very disheartened to see that our place of being virtually a nobody on the world stage has been usurped, and we're now right at the top of the list of, if you want to see how not to do something, just go to Canada and watch what they do.
That's right. This is the Tristan Hopper from the National Post. Is the headline, Canada is becoming a globally recognized lesson in not what to do. Isn't that wonderful?
I mean, you can laugh at it, but and maybe that's what we should be doing. But it still hurts. Because we're being tarred with a big brush, and it's not necessarily all of us, all Canadians. It's just a select few, and unfortunately the select few are the ones that are kind of running the joint right now. And not to say that the people that would take over would do any better, I don't know. I'm I guess that's why I'm stuck on that cohort of thieves. I really don't know. Is it better to know that to stay with the devil you know, or the one that you don't?
Well, let me just quote from the article that you brought up. It says that from assisted suicide to housing affordability to internet regulation, it's not infrequent that Canada is cited in foreign parliaments and foreign media as the very model of the worst case scenario. He goes on to say it was just 6 months ago that the Telegraph scored a viral hit rather, with a mini documentary framing the political situation in Canada's quote, warning to the West, unquote. Tristan goes on to say that under Justin Trudeau, Canada has sought to position itself as the global bastion of progressive politics. And it reads as a synopsis for the film Canada's Woke Nightmare, which has garnered more than 5 million views. It says that Canada is now the absolute global vanguard of progressive issues, including harm reduction, assisted suicide, and gender ideology. For example, Canada is the first country to go all on supervised consumption of drugs in Europe, where you are in British Columbia. Because if you provide drugs in a safe environment, that's better than giving, you know, people taking drugs in a not safe environment. Apparently taking drugs in a safe environment solves the problem.
Oh, and they all got that right after our neighbors to the south in Oregon put that in, and they see that our neighbors to the south in Oregon have now started to see that maybe that wasn't perhaps the best way to do things, and started going backwards on those issues. So I don't know. It fits in with the cohort of thieves, because I think a lot of the times these people are the ones that are ensuring that it's their pockets that are getting lined and filled at the expense of taking that out of my pocket. And, you know, we've mentioned it before, and you know, I guess continue to mention it. The reality is it doesn't matter what country you're in, if there's an income tax system, there is only one taxpayer. And it really doesn't matter what level of government you're at. They can only come after me so long. And when my pockets are empty, I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, they're going to take your pants. You won't have to worry about pockets.
Oh, there we go. Okay. So then we can join the Emperor Doesn't Have Any Clothes Club, too.
Well, it's increasingly questionable how much a government can go into debt and still function as a government.
Yeah, very true. But
it's pretty evident that there's not enough money you can print that you don't run out of. It's the economy is supposed to be doing really well. That's what the thieves will tell you.
Yeah, that's true. And
And it's Orwellian. Okay, so, we spoke about this. It's, I tell you, the sky is green, and you better understand this. You know, even though you know it's blue, it's green. So the economy is great. There is no crime. The crime is being reduced in the urban centers. Don't have to worry about it. Borders and immigration is under control. There's no problem there at all because, you know, your lying eyes will deceive you.
Yeah, it sounds like a really good title for a song, Your Lying Eyes.
Your Lying Eyes, yes. Well, it's pretty evident that you've got a group that believes that everybody else is stupid, and this is the elites that you know, the cohort of thieves are aligned with. And so when you have a media that is failing, the whole so-called legacy media, well, the only people they can ally themselves with to stay in power or in business as long as possible is with the cohorts of thievery. Yeah, because it's just it's that's the only place they can go.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, and it gets down to a point of and when I was working, we used to have all these things, and there was called the credibility gap. And there was a great cartoon that came out quite a few years ago now, and I guess somebody had said, well, what is a credibility gap? And that's when you're kind of walking down a trail and the sun is off on your left side or your right side. And when you walk by a gap in the wall, it's a shadow. And that's basically what a credibility gap is. And unfortunately, I think most governments are in that spot now. You know, you think you're in the sunshine, but in reality, you're left in the dark, and you're hoping for some really good words of wisdom to help you through there. But it's almost like, you know, if they're telling you that crime is down, you know it's up. If the economy is running along tickety-poo, you know it's maybe on its last legs. But there's not a lot of people, media included, primarily, I guess, that just won't say anything. And is that to save us, to shelter us, to stop us from hearing the bad news and running around with our heads, chickens with their heads cut off? I don't know. I don't think we like that. You know, we could take bad news. We may not like it, but we can take it.
Yeah, but even if your bad news is preceding you, in other words, you just take the news about how the economy is doing really well, and we know that's not true, in spite of the fact that you can find economists who will tell you that, for example, this just came in as we were talking, that the government of Canada's interest payments for the debt is going to surge by 300% in the next 10 years. So, you know, while it's common knowledge that interest rates in Canada have increased rapidly in the last couple of years, what's not common knowledge is how this is going to affect the government of Canada and how they're going to have to raise money to pay off the debt. So in 2023, last year, the government of Canada owed $1.259 trillion to bondholders. The Parliamentary Budget Office expects the government debt to increase to $1.829 trillion in the next 6 years. So by 2029, the problem is that not only is the debt going to increase, that these bonds are like mortgages, they'll have expiry dates and they have to be renewed. So on renewal, the interest rates that are negotiated back to the market rates will be higher. The combination means that the cost of borrowing will be surging like crazy. So, you know, you're looking at perhaps, $60 billion more to spend on unemployment insurance, child care, old age supplements. Where's this money going to come from? $60 billion. They have to come up with just to do that annual business with the old age security with child benefits. You know, it's incomprehensible, I guess, for the ordinary.
Well, I think part of that is right. I used to understand what $1 million was, and apparently that's like a dime now. I jest, but you know, governments are stocking billions of dollars in spending because millions weren't enough.
Yes.
And we're really, really starting to think that trillions are okay. And, you know, even from our business line here, you can bring in all the people you want. Any newcomer coming in is going to look at this and go on, I don't know how you can do this. Like, you know, we're already at 50% taxation, you know, and it's going to go up.
Bob, use that word again.
Oh yeah, sorry.
You see, yeah. See, already you and I are succumbing to the propaganda, the newcomers. We don't want to call them immigrants. We don't want to call them illegal migrants. We want to call them newcomers. They're not undocumented. They're newcomers. So, you know, you can see the wordsmithing is it's right in our own vocabulary now. We're talking about newcomers. Oof. That's very, very Orwellian.
Well, I guess it's like everything else. If you can get the cohort of thieves, the elitists, the here in Canada, I think they used to call them the Laurentides, spouting off things continually about how the sky is green, water really isn't wet. If you say it long enough and loud enough, people might just begin to buy that story. And along with that is that, you know, if you go to Georgetown, apparently the Kool-Aid is okay. So I don't know.
The how not to do it moniker around Canada is really not one that is we should be especially proud of, because
if we had a gold medal, that's one that we wouldn't want. Yeah.
No. And you know, in talking about things we know a little bit about just because of our time spent in the business, there was a report, I think I sent it to you, about the undercover sting that revealed that cash payments for immigration permits would be made in Ontario, where a father from China recently filmed meetings with immigration consultants, who I would now consider to be traffickers of migrants, not consultants of immigration, where he alleges he paid for a work permit as part of what the federal authorities allege was a larger scheme to defraud foreign workers. And this is from the CBC, which you know, has questionable reporting standards these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess for me, I read the article, and it's something that is not new. I mean, this has been happening for quite a while. I guess what's the interesting part here was that it was basically a John Q. Public that said that this is wrong, and he's going to raise it to issues. And yeah, good for the CBC, who, although on one hand they know what side the hand is feeding them and which side the bread is buttered on, but you can't let stuff like this go on. You know, you can't let the wolves be in charge of the hen house, and you got to stand up and take over. You know, unless as we talk pre-production, is this just the precursor to open borders, no borders?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, it's a strange world we live in. You know, the things that you think should be on the top of people's minds and foremost in the front are starting to well up, and people are starting to think about and talk about. I guess, you know, even down south to our neighbors down there along the Texas border, like, why is that one state standing up and saying enough is enough, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that? And And I don't know where that is right now. You know, it's kind of fallen off the mainstream media news.
Well, it's become a tiresome story, but it doesn't end. You know, it's last week we saw that in the New York, they had to put the National Guard into the subway system because crime, which is dropping precipitously, had to be helped along by the National Guard.
Yeah, and you know, I guess it is just, what was that, Jeff Daniels, The Newsroom, great series. And I guess that what really strikes me is being prevalent now is that we're almost back to the 72-hour news cycle. You know, it's really, really hot and bothersome news for the first 72 hours, but boy, we better find something else to go on after that.
Yeah, well, you know, it used to be that you'd watch the Sunday mornings or Sunday afternoon news sort of roundups, and it just turns out to be the same rubbish you heard the week before. There's no really, I guess the word would be granular news. It's all dressed up propaganda, depending on which station you tune into, and if you question it, then you're being a, you know, some sort of antisocial person, and you know, the confusion, even for those of us who spend time, because we have the time to look at both sides of a story, is one which you know, you are continually kind of swiveling in your head, like, okay, which one of these makes sense in real life, you know, because if you just take what's happening in the Middle East, you can't really take much for granted from the media as being the truth. Yes, there is a serious conflict going on there, but you know, it's difficult to find really who the bad guys are versus the good guys, because they like the poles in the sun that switch every 11 years with the sunspot cycle. You know, the guys with the white hats are suddenly wearing black hats, and the ones with the black hats are wearing white hats. Yeah. And then, you know, you wait another 72 hours and all of a sudden they switched hats again. So, you know, it's very challenging, and certain positions on that particular front are just intractable. Clearly, some folks have decided that one side or the other is where they are going to lay down their money and their support and their emotional support. And that's it. They will not listen to the other side. There's no compromise there at all. The other thing is this constant warmongering that's going on in other parts of the world too. And you're going like, what do you think is going to happen here if all this spins out of control?
Well, we've seen that with the just number of migrants that are homeless that are on the move. It's gone up thousands of percentage points in the last decade.
Of course.
And I guess, yeah, do we in the West, we can't afford to house them all. We take a look at what happened in Germany when they started bringing in millions of immigrants, and their systems soon became overburdened, unbearable, unattainable.
And these are the same, not the same Germans, but there's a leadership issue there that wants to, you know, march to Moscow again. Come on, what are we talking about here? Did they not learn their lesson in the last century twice?
I think that might be part and parcel of what we talked about last week was, would they feel the same if you know, the Chancellor of Germany actually had to go and meet with the President of Russia in Dublin? Let's get him down face to face in a neutral country somewhere along the line, and let's say, let's figure out what is the issue, what is the problem. Let's, but well, they, no, I think we've become too complacent with, well, let's have our other gang, our other cohorts of thieves in the United Nations deal with this. And really, there, you're right. There is no neutral values here, right? Somewhere along the line is making money, and that seems to be what the whole thing boils down to.
That's right. And in fact, you brought up the UN and the whole business of this war in Ukraine and basically a European problem. I to this day do not understand how this European Union thinks that it has title to the UN now. Because suddenly I saw last week the meeting between the heads of the UN and the EU, because they want to have some kind of symbiotic relationship. And I'm thinking, wait a second, the UN already has the membership of the 28 European Union countries. How much more symbiotic do you need to be? Frankly, I'm beginning to wonder how is it possible that they have a block of 28 votes in 190 some country votes in the UN? How did this end? If they're sovereign countries, then the EU has no business being at the UN. Okay. And by the way,
Exactly.
two of those countries, France, and the UK, are European countries who form the Security Council. So all of a sudden, that's overweighted. While the UK is not part of the EU. It's the French France still is. So the balance there seems completely out of whack here. Granted, the US one vote, big country, pays most of the bills for the UN, and then China and Russia, also Security Council players, one vote each. Here's the EU with its military nonsense, all 28 of them that way. I mean, the militarily they're little tiny, the Goliaths, sorry, the minions trying to tie down the Goliath there. Their overwhelming number of votes, given their actual power, is ridiculous.
I think you had mentioned, oh gosh, several episodes ago about how the EU wanted to send its navy. I'm thinking, what navy?
Well, they also have dressed up a group called the Foreign Service. I forget what exactly it's called, but they have another masquerading outfit that represents all 28 of the sovereign countries. In various meetings around the world, they have a super diplomat. This guy called Boris Pill, I believe that's his name. Doesn't matter. It just escaped me all of a sudden. And I'm sure people say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. But the point is that they have a diplomatic corps, which is kind of one more level above the sovereign diplomatic corps of the other 28 countries. So, it really gets to be very weird,
And I guess the cohort of thieves are doing things that they think are proper, that they want people to think are proper, that but the reality is, much like in the Middle East, much like in the Ukraine, it's the poor guy stuck in the middle or at the bottom of the heap that's taking the brunt of all this stuff. And somewhere along the line, humanity has lost sight of that. Hence the fact we have how many hundreds of millions of people without homes that are on the move, that are refugees for economic or otherwise, that just seem to be taking the brunt of all of this. Well, I'm sure the munitions factories and munitions people are still making their maybe not billions of profits, but hundreds of millions of dollars profit every year. And it's all on the backs of the people that really have the least amount of say that will hopefully one day be able to have that say back, be able to go back to their homes or to perhaps bring the seed of sanity?
We have to be optimistic, but I'm not sure if the folks in the last couple of decades that have had their homes destroyed, whether it's been in Algeria or Lebanon or Afghanistan or all these other places where the former colonial powers, because let's be serious here, the former colonial European powers are the ones messing about all over the world here, whether it's in Africa or Asia or what have you. This colonial mentality by the British, the French, the Americans, you know, who have the 800 bases all over the world because they're going to, you know, what other country does that? You know, I mean, this really is starting to get on people's nerves, and they're starting to see through it. And maybe that's where some of this anti-white feeling is coming from, because I've been trying to figure out where all this came from the last number of years, where the Europeans are seen as devils in so many parts of the world. Well, maybe there's some truth to it. Not that I want to get into a big discussion about it, but let's face it, the European colonial powers have been basically very good at some things and very bad at a lot of other things. So making peace ain't one of them, certainly since the Second World War. We can see where the resentment in Africa, in Asia, in South America towards the, I guess, the G7, which makes up most of the colonial powers, and a couple non-colonial types like Canada that, you know, some would want to know why we're in the G7 to begin with, but that's a whole other story. A lot of the mess that's out there has been created by these old hangers on, and, you know, these colonial powers are shrinking in importance, and they're being internally taken apart too by another kind of colonialism, which is called illegal immigration, where you've got literally millions of people going into Europe, going into the US, Canada, that are not part of the old colonial makeup. Okay, these are not your white people anymore. These are people of color. Like, this is the one they always use, or we have people of color, but they're also different cultures, they're different religions, and in large numbers they're showing up, and they're changing the makeup of cities. First of all, urban centers. Then they're changing the culture. I mean, just on the weekend, I was watching TV, and now that we have to suffer through commercials on even on paid broadcast like Prime on Amazon, every commercial that was on had actors that didn't look like me, you know. And I'm thinking, wait a second, it looks like Canada now is predominantly either African Canadian, or from the Southeast Asia, because all the ads were directed at those folks or by those folks. So, you know, things are changing. Now, whether it's reality or not, that's a whole other thing. But I can see why we're getting confused, and why we're not able to kind of grasp things the way we used to.
Yeah.
We're in a
transition, definitely
transition. No question, for good or for not. You know, I'm not sure. We have a lot of folks who are not happy with their lot in life, who just showed up here. That, you know, the newcomers, if you will, are not happy. You know, they've been sold a bill of goods about, you know, here, you know, the land of plenty, and this is not. You got to work for a living. You're going to run out of government largesse when the cohort, the thieves, are tossed out of office, because that's in likely to happen as it, you know, the sun follows the next day of the east.
Well, you know, and that's very true. And we've mentioned it before. Politicians have a tendency to forget that there is an expiry date. And maybe we should do like the marketing industry does and put a best before date on all of them. But would they still be able to look at that? Would we put it at the back of the neck or should we put it on the arms? Yeah, I don't know. But
QR code right there.
you are, yeah. Might work.
Well, it's very complicated. You can't really have a discussion about anything today without getting deep into the weeds and then discovering that you can't see anything because you're so deep in the weeds,
Yeah, well, what's the old saying? You can't see the forest for the trees,
Yeah.
and this is what we're coming up with here. And unfortunately, with these various cohorts around the world who seem to be only interested in their own well-being and not the well-being of the countries or the populations they're supposed to be taking care of.
Certainly not in the current context of the,
Yeah.
major players, because I name one Western leader that is actually liked by the people. There really isn't one that is overwhelmingly supported by other people.
No. In our current leader, his dad was very unliked in Canada, but was thought of well around the world because that's where he went out and did a lot of the things, spending our money in various places of the world. And
Yeah, but that was pre-internet days.
it
This
was,
his
yeah.
offspring can't do the same thing for a number of reasons. Intellectually, there's no comparison for starters,
Yeah.
and he can't hide like his father could, because it's just the world is just so interconnected that you can't hide. That's hence we have that article in the Telegram saying don't do what Canada does, because that's a good way not to do it.
Well, in our business as well, former business, that anybody who had a deportation order from Canada really had to be the lowest of the low.
Yeah, and have a really poor lawyer. Well,
But anyway,
we're out of time, kiddo.
we
We're
are, and we kind of again harped on things that maybe don't relate totally to immigration or to migration issues, but it all boils down to the same thing. There's a lot of unrest, and there's a lot of people moving, looking for the greener grass on the other side of the fence, and I don't know if we're ever going to find it.
Well, let's hope. Let's hope next week we have more positive things to talk about.
Our quest that never ends.
Don't forget to like us, subscribe, and we'll see you next week.
And comments, please let us know. Are we
Absolutely.
doing things that you would like to hear, or is there something that we could do better?
Yes.
Anyway,
Adios.
adios.
Did we do it?